Ja, willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Open Court, dem Podcast des FC Bayern Basketball. An meiner Seite wieder Coach Jens, mein Experte.
Ja, freut mich, Thorsten.
Ja, freue mich auch sehr, dass wir wieder zusammen sind. Und heute zu Gast unser französischer Nationalspieler Sylvain Francisco. Und weil sein Deutsch eben noch nicht richtig perfekt ist, sprechen wir in Englisch. Good to have you here, Sylvain. Enchanté, as we say.
Enchanté. Thank you very much, man, for having me here.
Yeah. I was hoping we could do this talk in German. Silva,
see, how about your German? You're going too fast. Right now, not yet. I'm still like trying to learn little, you know, basic things, but German is really hard. So,
what is the first sentence you learned in German? What can you say?
The only danke for now. Guten Tag. You know, it's the basic. So I'm trying to like, I ain't trying to speed up anything. So. First of all, I got to learn the alphabet, first of all.
Yeah.
That's the thing we're just going to make me, you know, when I'm trying to read something, at least I'm going to know, like, how I'm going to, like, pronounce all of this, you know, because there's a lot of things I'm like.
Do you study each day?
I don't study really that much because right now I'm learning Portuguese because it's really like, because I'm from Angola, so, you know, I grew up in my house, my parents was more like talking Lingala from Congo.
Okay.
So I grew up with this. I speak Lingala, I understand it. But I never had opportunity to speak Portuguese. So my first thing right now is to like speak Portuguese. So yeah.
One very important sentence here. Mm-hmm. Ich liebe den FC Bayern. I love
FC Bayern. Yeah. So you said again?
Ich liebe den FC Bayern.
You know, when I was in school, I only had 1 year of class of Germany. They was saying we had to say ich liebe dich.
Yeah.
You know, I love it like ich liebe dich.
Yeah.
The way you say it is different. Yeah.
Yeah. Ich liebe den FC Bayern.
Ich liebe den FC Bayern.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Of course.
Perfect. What a year 2023 for you. You made the French national team, the world championship. Yeah. Then your first EuroLeague game with FC Bayern. What was more exciting? What made you more goosebumps? The national anthem or the EuroLeague anthem when you listened to them?
I mean, I feel like it's, for me, it was more than a national anthem, you know. And the thing is, like, you know, for me, we have a lot of players. And to make the World Cup, for me, it was a huge, huge achievement and a huge goal because I didn't expect it to be like around those NBA players, top players that I was with in my team. So, you know, for me, it was like a goal. And before that, I knew I was going to EuroLeague for sure, but I didn't know when because I was trying to, you know, go there step by step.
Right.
So with the national team, it's really different.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it looked like from the outside looking in that you were a lock right away for the French national team. I mean, Coach Collet said, these are my 12 guys, right?
Yeah.
I want Sylvain to play point guard, combo guard.
Yeah.
What was that feeling?
I mean, this feeling was kind of great because, you know, me, I came here to prove it that I belong to be here. You know, I'm not here to just like, okay, I'm a national team, so I can like rest. That's not me. And that's me just like think about long term. To stay to one of, you know, I want to be like the main point guard for the rest of the year. So I'm trying, for me, like, it's better like to prove the coach that I can like play here in this level with the best players in Europe or maybe in the world. Some of them, you know, it's like, I'm not talking about national team France. I'm talking about all around, like those, all the nations. And like, for me, it's just like something that I learn almost every day and every year. So yeah.
And it's not like there's no competition at the point guard position with Evan Fournier, Elio Kobo.
No competition at all.
This is those are high level players, and to make the log right away without training camp.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Evan is like a two. Ellie's a 2-2. He's a combo, but he's more like efficient as a second ball handler, you know, as a guard. So like, yeah, for me, like to be a point guard, and you know, you got Fournier Ertel couldn't be here, and you know, to be like behind Ertel, Albisi, and then Dokolo, those guys might gonna be gone in maybe after the Olympics. So for me, like, it's really like something that I really wanna, you know, really wanna push through and to be like the main guys. Even if we have some NBA players too, like Killian Hayes, you know, Theo Maledon, Frank Ntilikina, you know, we have a lot of guards who can be there. But for me, it's just like, okay, I didn't make the NBA, but I'm pretty sure that I can be like the main point guard in the national team, and that's what I really want.
Is it like a dream come true when you look at the little boy back then in Créteil who was playing in the streets, 12 years old? Did you imagine to play for the national team back then?
I mean, my first thought is to be like, you know, go to the NBA, play with the national team when I was young. That was this, because, you know, and as more you growing up, you know, I went to a lot of things. I went through a lot of things. So for me, it was like, I don't know if I'm going to make the national team. It's probably like far away for me, but I got to keep working because I want to go to the highest level ever, you know. So for me, I didn't have no limits. I just want to go step by step. Yeah. People going to think I'm just like, too cocky, just like, you know, too cocky to leave another club for like a year, go somewhere else. I just going fast, but it's not for me. It's just like, me, I'm just the type of guy would be like, okay, I believe in myself. If I go there, I just got to adapt it and play my game. They got to accept my game and the way I play. So for me, it was just a lot of things that just like happened, and I just never give up. And I was like, okay, if they don't accept me here, they're going to accept me somewhere else and prove them that I can play in the highest level. So yeah. And after that, I realized then I can make the national team. I was really surprised because it was really a goal for me. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, you seem like a man who tries to get better every single day, like Michael Jordan said. That's what it's all about, to get better every single day.
Yeah. For me, that's the main thing, you know, to get like better every single day. You know, I want to be, you cannot be perfect on everything, but for me, it's like, I want to be perfect here, and there, and there. I want to shoot like Steph Curry. You know, like, so the team going like them and lead. I want to shoot like them. Like, and there's a lot of things that you can do it. But for me, it's just like, okay, I know I can do it, but I got to prove it that I can do it, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about your life. You started playing in the streets back then in Créteil. Then you went to high school in Florida. Therefore, your English is almost perfect. Yeah. Then you play pro ball in France, in Spain, in Greece, and now FC Bayern basketball. How do you like the club so far? What's your first impressions after 3 months?
I mean, I love it. I love it. My first impression is like really like people are really like friendly here, you know, and especially my first time I came here, I feel like it was just a family right away. I feel like I've really felt like, especially in the team, I've been here for like a year, you know, because the way I felt, it was like, okay, like them guys, you know, my teammates was really on me, the coaches and everybody else who was like next
except
to me. Except Coach Jens.
We already met in Tokyo.
I met him when I was in Japan. So like that was my first time we was talking. I was kind of mad a little bit, but yeah. So it was really good. Like that was the first meeting. So, you know, for me, just this happened, I was like, wow, this is really crazy. Like to see you in Japan was like, I didn't expect it. And I was really like the first relationship that I had with a staff from Bayern, you know. And yeah, for the first 3 months, it's really good. I really love it. Really love it. The team and even outside, you know, in the city. City is really good. It's just like,
city's cool. Do you look good in Lederhosen?
In what?
In Lederhosen? Haven't you got a Lederhosen?
In these Bavarian pants.
Bavarian
leather pants.
Oh, the one from Oktoberfest, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I did. It was too tight.
It was, bro, too tight?
Too tight. I couldn't even see. I'm like, yo, what's going on? But yeah. So that was funny.
I'm not from Bavaria, but yeah. I think there's a ritual when you wear the Lederhose for the first time, leather pants, you have to put one mass beer over it. Is it like this?
No, you don't have to. But you have to, back in the old days, you had to pee in.
Jesus Christ, that's what you missed.
To make them smoother, to make them softer.
No way.
Yes. When I was a kid,
I didn't know it.
What? let's talk about basketball.
That escalated quickly.
Let me drink my water real quick.
What was your first impression, Jens, when you saw Silva in Japan?
That was a tough game, right?
Yeah, it
was. That was a tough game. I watched all the games before where you were able to right away create confusion in the in the defensive parts. We know from these playoff series against Panathinaikos, they didn't have too many options against you.
Yeah.
They tried everything. They couldn't limit him. So he was really on fire. And that was your game, type of game. And then this was the game against Australia, right? Which is a high quality team. And they were able to move the ball and attack the team the right way. And also they won the game very, very closely. And it's difficult to adapt to this kind of play. When I was sitting, this was nearly courtside. This was super quick.
But your first impression, was it this man will help FC Bayern basketball?
Yeah, for sure.
At first?
I mean, you cannot hedge him. He's too quick. Now he can shoot the three-pointer with like Steph Curry, nearly like Steph Curry.
I just got to make a little more.
He can shoot it from deep. Okay. Yeah. You showed this. And this is something where the team always benefits. So this is... he can attack the paint. He can shoot from outside.
Yeah.
This is something you can see right away. And
the whole package.
Yep.
Sylvain, so when FC Bayern called, what was the main reason for you to say, hey, I'm going to Munich? Was it Coach Lasso, one of the best coaches in Europe?
Yeah, it was really Coach Lasso. And I was thinking about the team and if I can, you know, for me, it's just like, okay, I had a lot of, you know, EuroLeague offers and you know to be with Pablo Lasso, I knew like I was gonna learn a lot of things from him and my first year to make some mistake, you know, because I needed like a coach who gonna be like, okay, you did bad on this one, but we're gonna learn. Usually when you go into like a championship team, they don't have time to teach you this. If you're doing bad things, you get to the bench right away and they're not gonna tell you because they really don't have time, you know. And like for me to be in this situation right now that I'm like, it's like a process. So I'm learning a lot from him and from the teammates and from this first year of EuroLeague, too.
You're lucky to have such great coaches last year in Peristeri. Spanoulis is a Greek legend. When you compare these two coaches, Spanoulis and Lasso, what do they have in common?
What do they have in common? I know they want to win. Like, those guys want to win. Spanoulis is way more vocal. In the case, like, he's really, like, the way his motivation, like, the way he wants to win, like, he a winner, go-getter. So he be like, guys, you know, you heard him from far away. For example, I'll be 10 minutes away, I'm going to hear him. Because this type of guy was really, like, he's a killer instinct. You can tell, I'm like, because I asked my ex-coaches, I was like, my assistant coaches, like, Savas or those type of guys, I'm like, is he was like that when he was like a player? He was like, yes. So he never changed. And you know, and with Lasso's, for me, it's him, both of them was guards. So like, they know basketball. They know how it is. And I mean, for me, like to be with those type of guards, like really superstars, because for me, they was like top guards in Europe. So like, for me, it's really like a blessing to be with them.
Pablo Lasso still is the assist leader in Spanish ACB. So
still
I think
is.
He still is. Yeah.
So I think it's also some part of age because Spanoulis came right away from playing for Olympiakos and then going into coaching. I think it might smooth out with the Spanoulis. We can go back to the very first kind of basketball that you played, which is streetball. How much streetball is still in your game right now?
I will say it really depends because I would say 60-40, you know, a little 60%. I mean, there's like a lot of things that I really don't do that I can really do it, but I don't do because I'm just trying to make my game simple. You know, the more I grew up and the more understanding with one dribble, I can beat my man. And, you know, when I was a dribble, most of the time it's like, okay, we want to be like hard. You know, we play one-on-one, no fouls. That was our thing, no fouls. Like, you can do I was going home with my shirt was, I didn't have no shirt. I was like bleeding here, stuff like that, my brothers. So for me, it was just like, okay, I play, you ain't got no second, so you just do all the type of dribble. And the more I was going, like I was going a certain level, the more the coaches was telling me, like, you know, every time you beating you guys, you want to come back. Because in my head, it was like, I want to cross it, I want to make it for, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, okay, now I just got to use one dribble. I'm gone. That's it. That's only I need. Or maybe two or three, but I'm gone at this time. So now I'm just to pick my game at the simple as ever. And that's what I do. But this, I have a lot of like dribble moves that people don't really see.
You grew up in Créteil, which is in banlieue de Paris, and the special part of Créteil.
Yeah.
Is it true that it was a really dangerous surroundings for a kid like you growing up?
I mean, I didn't grow up in Créteil. I was born there, but I grew up in Sevran. It's on the 93. So yeah, it was 93. It's the most dangerous department in France. So especially for me, like growing up there, you know, it was a lot of murders. I was a bad kid too, so if it for me, like, it's not a bad kid, but the same time, it's like the friends you grew up with, because it's like, it's the hood. That's what we say, it's the hood. So
not much money.
Seven, you know.
Seven siblings?
Yeah, we're nine siblings.
Nine siblings all together?
Yeah, all together. Same mom, same dad. We were sleeping. Most of the time, we only have like three rooms, so like it was like one room for the parents and two other rooms for us. So most of the time, was like stay together, sleeping together, no space, you know. So yeah, to grow up there was really, really hard.
Did you experience violence in the streets?
Oh yeah, definitely. It was every time like this, you know.
Every
time I went down was violence most of the time, you know. Even if I was young, I couldn't go to a certain block because we have issues other guys. So most of the time, like, there's a lot of people who lost their life.
So you were in the gang?
Huh?
You were in the gang?
I wasn't in the gang, but I know how to defend myself. That's what I learned, you know.
You have to learn to survive.
You have to learn to survive. That's how it is. Especially I was playing basketball. That was my main thing. And I have my big brothers was there. My big brothers were kind of like... That what I like about my big brothers is like when I was trying to play with my friends, like the people who was taking care of us, like the guy who was really like older than us, they was telling me, "What you doing here? Go play basketball. If you don't go play basketball, I'ma beat you up." Cause my brothers was telling them, so I cannot be with those guys. Cause you know, like we said, we all know, like in this type of area, people be selling drugs. There's violence. Police always there like 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they was telling me like, go play basketball. So that was the only thing I was playing.
Would you say, Sylvain, basketball might have saved your life?
Basketball saved my life. Because I remember when I was 13, 14, I made all the tryouts in France. Nobody was trying to pick me up because they were saying, he's too small. His game is too American. Too much street ball. We don't like this. So what you want me to do? The only thing is like, okay, I was not going to really go to school because with my family, we was nine kids. My parents was waking up at like 3, 4 a.m. go to work. And even me, when I was there, I was taking care of my brothers. So the thing is like, what you want me to do? I play basketball. That was the thing. I was not going a lot of to practice most of the time. You're going to see me at the game because I had issues, but I was never saying anything. And thank God my brothers was there, especially Bateko was there and was telling me like, okay, we're going to send you to the U.S. That was the only thing. If not, you wouldn't see me. You won't see me like, all we said, sending drugs.
How did that work at the U.S.? You applied to for a scholarship or what happened?
Yeah, I applied for a scholarship. So the thing is like my brother used to be in the U.S. So he was at Robert Morris in the ACAA. I think it was like 2008. Yeah, something like this. And he was doing good. He was like a two times best defender in his conference, like a guard. So the thing is, like, he was telling me, I got this coach right here who gonna tell you, like, I got this coach who gonna make you know you're gonna have your visa, you're gonna go to the States, so I think it's better for you. So what happened? That's what happened. We send a lot of video. I have another one, his name is Mohammed. He was helping me how to like send the videos to every schools. So every schools was like saying like he's really good, but we can't afford him scholarships. And after that, the more I was playing games, some of my friends was coming to watch my game, recording me every time. So I had good friends to them. Shout out to them, though.
Wow.
And that's what I was doing most of the time. When it was their turn, I was there recording them the same thing.
Friends for life.
Yeah. So the thing is, like, there's one coach from Miami. His name is Coach Bloom, who really, like, loved me. And he was like, okay, we're going to give him a full scholarships. But I have a five-star camp in London, and he has to be there. So my brother just, like, my parents couldn't afford this, you know, to pay the train and all of this. So my brother, my big brother, did it. We went there, and I met him, I remember, and I was MVP of the camp. He gave me the full scholarship. And that's why I went to Miami. I went there. So what happened is just, like, I couldn't go to the school I was supposed to go to because my grades was not good. So, and I remember I have an old parent in Miami. Her name is Miss Wendy and Mr. Michael. The thing is that I'm still connected with them. So when I'm going back to Miami, I'm going to their house. Like, they really helped me a lot. And especially this mom, I call her mom because she didn't know me. And she was like, you're not going back to France. She was like, I'm going to make sure you're going to have a school here. And I was surprised because it was my first time seeing her and she was telling me this. I'm like, wow.
And you were 14 years
old. I was 14. I was 14 when I was in Phoenix comeback. I was 16 at this moment. Yeah, 16. And I found out, like, a school, and I stayed all the time. And
Did you realize back then this will change my life? This is a big chance for me?
At first, yeah, of course, because my brothers was telling me every time. They was like, if you go on there, you know, they was like, if you go on there, just, it's not, this is not your house. This is not your real life. And you in school, you got to work in school. Basketball, you got to kill everybody. Because at the end of the day, sooner or later, you're going to have all these type of things. You know, this is a dream, you know, Miami, all of this. So when I was coming there, I knew already my mind and my mission. So I was not like, oh, I'm in Miami. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool, but I'm not here for, like, vacation. I was 16, yeah. So I was already preparing my head that I'm here to kill everybody. That was my main thing.
What kind of basketball was there played? So was it up-tempo style? Was it street ball? What kind of basketball did you meet, and did you know it?
Yeah, kind of basketball that I met, me, I grew up with N1 and all this type of stuff. So, like,
hot sauce.
Hot sauce, you know. So when I went there, my first impression, it was like, those guys just play one-on-one. Mm. One-on-one, you kill your guy, we're going to give you the ball back. That's it. So me, all I was seeing is me with the ball and the basket. That was the only thing. So my coach was telling me, go get him. So no one could guard me. So I was doing thing, making basket, play defense. They was giving the ball back to me. So that's what I was doing. So most of the time it's like dribble, dribble, go by him, finish it.
Which is your style of game anyhow. So
that was my style of my game, but less because I could really finish on 2-3 people. Like, just, you know, finish it, like, down the layup, you know. And there's certain things I don't do this anymore right now that I really could do, but I don't really do it anymore.
So the banlieue prepared you for high school basketball?
Yeah. Not even for high school basketball, for life.
For life. No, for real, for life. Because, you know, for me, it was just like, I remember, that's the thing. I was killing so much, then I was a top guards in Florida. In less than 2 months,
mm-hmm.
You know, less than 2 months, like, people didn't know me, and everybody was recording me, like, who is this guy? Because in my head, it was like, I was not here to play. I'm here to take your spot and to have the full scholarships every time. And so that's why when I was in the state, especially when you're a foreign guy, jealousy is coming because uh-huh. You're taking somebody's spot from the U.S. You got some racist things, and, like, some people just want to fight you and stuff like that. So it was a lot of things went on. But in my head, it was like I said, I knew how to defend myself, and I knew how to, like, okay, if we had a problem, we can fight. It don't matter for me, but I will kill you in practice. That was the only thing. So, and that's what our coaches was doing. It was like, okay, y'all have issues? Sounds good. Playing one-on-one. Yeah. Let's talk. That's it.
Yeah,
and most of the time is like, they was like, yeah, I can't do anything. Because I was like, in my head, I was like, I didn't have time to, like, argue with somebody. I just want to play basketball. you know, and go to the NBA. That's what I wanted to do.
So now we're talking, Silva. What's the reason do you think right now is they didn't draft you for the NBA?
Wow, it's really like a long story, because I didn't get drafted because of my agent. That's the thing. That's like a lot of people didn't know about this. It's a lot of things happened. I mean, I will say like later on about what happened, but I was supposed to be drafted. And this agent just took off my name of the draft.
The dream is still alive?
Dream is still alive. Dream is still alive. Everybody's still alive. So for me, I'm just like dreaming about it. And now I got to go to the small doors, like we said, and, you know, just dream about that. But I was supposed to be drafted, yeah.
But for sure, it's not a bad place to be at FC Bayern Munich.
Definitely not. Definitely not. You know, 2 years ago.
Big step, man.
Yeah, 3 years ago, I was just watching NBA basketball. And now, like, I changed. I don't really like to watch NBA basketball. Only watching a players' games. Most of the time, you see me with three screens watching you all the games. So you see how it is with three screens.
At the same time?
At the same time, watching you all the games. You'd be like, what is going on? Because I love the game, and I was like, yeah, I'm here to learn. And I'm like, wow, this is really crazy, you know.
Name two, three players you like to watch and learn from.
In the EuroLeague? I learned from two or three players. What was that? One guy, okay. I would say Nikolaitis.
Mm-hmm.
Nikolaitis.
Passing skills?
Yeah, passing skills. The way and like his tempo, the way he's like, he plays the game. Nobody can speed him up or slow him down. Like, up tempo. Outside the 3-point line, he's not a menace. But as soon as he go to the 3-point line inside the paint, like just put his foot at the 3-point line, he's so dangerous. And, like, everybody's scared about everything, you know. I got, yeah, him.
Teodosic?
Yeah, Teodosic. My first time playing against Teodosic, really, like, against Teodosic in the finals when we played Magenta finals.
Mm.
It really, like, it surprised me because I didn't even know he was that tall. Because it was really my first time seeing him in real life. I'm like, he's really tall. Like, and so I'm like, now I understand how he can pass the ball like this, like that, like that, like that. And like this. So, and I remember one time, it was like in the fourth quarter. So I was supposed to bum the big guy. And I know he used the screen. I don't know how he saw me. So I thought he was going to pass the ball to the corner. And I was going to hang out. Hangout was at the wing. So what he did, I thought he was going to pass the ball to the corner. I think Freddie was jumping. So he passed the ball right here, behind his arm, passed it to Hangout. I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what he's doing for 15 years.
For 15 now, years, I was like, this is so skilled. Like the way he passing the ball is unbelievable.
And he still has leaping ability.
He still, like, it's crazy. Like,
but even, he can't defend you.
That's the thing. He can't defend me, but I feel like what I saw against the rest of when we was there, like even if they were losing by 12 and 13, when I liked about him because I was on the bench, he was like, maybe he still cannot play defense, but he was pressing the ball so hard, and I'm like, he's like 30 something, but he's still pressing the ball. Like, to tell you how, like, he still got some legs, but in defense, not really. But he still, like, his mind that I want to stop them, so I really want to win this game. And that's what I like, because usually when I'm on the bench, I like to see, like, how the players are, you know, how they are, too. And, yeah, the way he controls the game,
too. Is this something you can learn, how he controls the game? Always two, three steps ahead of what's happening?
Yeah, of course, of course. And I think, like, I mean, I'm not going to text him for sure, because I love to, like, text point guards, you know, players like that to learn a lot. You know, that's why, you know, I'm not the type of guy who just like, okay, he's good, I don't want to learn from him. No.
Learn
from the best every time, because, like, there's a lot of things that, okay, I'm like 6'1", he's like 6'5", 6'4", but there's a lot of things that he just, like, see before happen that facilitate everything, you know. We know he's going to pass the ball. The only thing we know he's going to pass the ball, but people knows about this, but they still can't stop it. you know, and that's the thing. Yeah, of course, what I want to learn from him is really like to pick and roll, the way he passes the ball, and the way he can facilitate his teammates, you know, to have an easy shot, especially on the tough games when it's all about details, like 1 minute left. Everyone better. So you don't know if you're going to pass the ball, if you're going to shoot it, you don't know what to do.
Things okay, like number that, three. You know.
I will put you on the spot now, okay? Yeah. I give you two players. You have to decide.
Okay.
Facundo Campazzo, Real Madrid,
mm-hmm.
or Nicolas Laprovittola, Barcelona.
Okay. I feel like this is different. That's tough because both of them are really good.
Small guards?
Yeah, small guards. They're really good. So, wow. I would say who I can choose... The most, I like Campazzo. I mean, for me, Campazzo is better than Laprovittola, but like Laprovittola can make a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of difference. You know, I feel like all of them are really good. Campazzo, you know how to, like, he go on both sides, you know, screens, can pass the ball, can finish it for him. Laprovittola, too. But one thing about Laprovittola is, like, he's a really good off the ball guy. He's really good off the ball, so he can shoot threes, and like he's not going fast too. So he reads the game pretty well. Both of them were really good, but Laprovittola off the ball, he's kind of better. Yeah.
Okay. So let's make it really difficult. Best small guard ever.
Wow. I mean ever. Small guards. I don't know about this. Small guards. For now on,
whatever you want.
You talk about in Europe, right?
No, NBA.
Whatever. Or NBA, yeah. Best small guards ever. Who's smaller than NBA? I'm not going to say Damian Lillard.
We have a small shooting guard, Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson.
Iverson.
Yeah, you got me for sure. I would put Allen Iverson. Best small guards ever for me.
Is there any chance you thought about doing something different with your life than playing basketball?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What?
Be a businessman. Businessman. I mean, I have a lot of things on business, you know, on the side a lot, because I'm a type of guy who really like to touch everything. You know, one day you're going to see me, I want to be like a, I want to have 10 restaurants. The other day, I want to be like a jeweler. And, you know, I touch almost everything because I know how to cook. And when I was young...
You like to cook at home, right?
I love to cook, yeah.
What kind of food?
Anything. Anything you ask me, I would do it. Some things that I'm not going to, like, be familiar with, I'm going to do it. But most of the time, African food and, like, things like that. But, yeah. I started cooking when I was 12 years old because my mom was like, come here. She was snapping me.
She was a good cook?
My mom knows how to cook pretty well. Everybody knows how to cook.
Cooking for 10 people at home.
Wow. Yeah. For 10 people.
Every day.
For 10 people at home. And the thing is, like, it's crazy because she was telling me, like, come here. I was like, what? She was like, look at me cooking. Because when you're going to be alone, I don't want you to buy some stuff every time. I was 12 years old when she going to tell me that. And that's how I learned. Even the youngest one is only 13. He knows how to cook.
So invited to Silva's house means you get very good food.
Good food. Come here.
That's okay.
Good food.
That's good to know.
Not for sure.
I think...
really good food. I really like can do almost like everything. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe you can cook for our fans a little bit. Like one time.
Yeah.
Let's make a gathering.
Why not? Could be cool. For sure. Yeah.
So let's talk about... the goals for this season. My team is still a work in progress, for sure. But have you got a vision of what can happen this season?
For me, I just don't want to set goals. But I think right now we on a good page. I feel like we're on a good page. It's a new team. And we've been together for like 3 months. But we're still learning a lot of things about a lot of, you know, trying to have some automatics. And I feel like, too, we're losing games that we're supposed to win. And we lack experience that we have, but we're learning. It's all about details every time. but it's a long season. It's a long season.
Damn long season. Yeah,
damn long season, like we said. And for me, it's just like I'm learning that there's so many things that we making mistakes, the same thing. And right now, we're trying to like erase it and learn something else every time. So, no, I think we're just on a good page. Even if people didn't think we're going to win the first two games. I mean, not first two games, but at least two games. They thought we're going to be like maybe be in the top teams, or maybe not, or maybe like just they only win against Berlin and that's it, you know. So right now we like I think 2-4.
2-4,
yes.
In Euroleague.
This in Euroleague. So for us it's just like to be prepared and to not like give up but to like push each other.
You gotta be ready in March and April, right?
Yeah, and I think also we missed a lot of open shots. So this is one part we did not have so much luck. We in each game where we were in the mix, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. That's definitely true because most of the time we open and we just miss a lot of shots. I think in this type of level, especially when you play against top teams, they don't really miss shots like that. They punish you every time you made a mistake. And I think like for us, that's just we have this type of mentality to be like, okay, you happen now, he's alone, he gonna make this shot, he ain't gonna miss. And for us, it's just alone, you know, we missing shots, okay, but we gotta make some stops after this. If we make stops and we don't make anything, nobody gonna score, you know. So I think right now it's just like we just gotta have a confidence back. We have a confidence, but we just gotta keep the same confidence and trust our shots, trust each other. And
keep shooting.
Be good. Yeah, keep shooting every time. You know, our guys be shooting right after practice every single time. So it's going to fall off for sure.
So this sounds very optimistic for the season. When the season is done, the Olympics come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Silva as a starting point guard for the French team?
I don't know for sure. I don't know. I wish, first of all, I'm trying to, I wish I can, you know, be in a team, you know, being with the 12 players.
Well, home in Paris.
Yeah, home in Paris too.
Thing. Yeah.
It's really a big thing. So we will see. We'll see. Colet deciding. So I ain't got no control of this. All I'm doing is just, you know, having a good season with Bayern, you know, and after that, we'll see.
Jens, any great questions left?
I'm speechless.
Speechless.
No, this was great. This was great insights.
Good. Yeah.
This was a nice talk.
It was really a nice talk for sure.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks to y'all guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good luck. Stay healthy and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Y'all too. Good to see you though. Too. Yeah. Thanks.